So we're going through the Lord's Prayer, we're up to the third petition, and you probably know the Lord's Prayer by heart, but I'm still going to read it. You guys said it this morning, and we said it in the church plant as well. But it's Matthew 6 is where it's found. Last week we did the first part of Matthew 6. Your kingdom come, and 6 verse 10, your kingdom come, and now we're going to do the last part of 6 verse 10. So God's word, again tonight, just Matthew 6 verse 10, because we know the Lord's Prayer, we know the context where Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray there in the New Testament. So this is what God's word says in the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. So that's the phrase, those two phrases we'll look at. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's word. A lot of people today have an attitude towards life that they can do anything that they want with their life. Right? That's not too uncommon to think that. A lot of people do. You've maybe even heard other people think it. Maybe you've even wrestled with this before. I can do anything I want. Nobody can tell me what to do. People today think they can live wherever they want, work whenever or wherever they want, buy whatever they want, and marry whomever they want. It's all completely up to them. That's a common idea in our country. But that's not really the Christian way of thinking, is it? What do I mean by that? Well, in the Christian life, we don't focus on what we want and how we want to live, but we focus on how God wants us to live and his call to us. And so our attitude is not, I'll do anything I want to do, but I'll do whatever God wants me to do. I'll go where he tells me to go. What he says, I will listen. How he commands, I'll obey. Where Jesus wants me to go, I'll follow him. So that's the contrast between other people's way of thinking and the Christian way of thinking. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight as we talk about this petition in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So there are three different parts to the sermon tonight. The first part, it will be kind of brief, but the first part we'll just talk about God's will. Secondly, we'll talk about our wills, and that also will be a kind of a briefer section of the sermon, our wills. And then finally, in the third part of the sermon, we're going to talk mostly tonight about submission to God's will. What does it mean when we pray, your will be done, and how do we submit to his will? So God's will, our wills, and then submitting to God's will. So first of all, when we think about the will of God, that's what Jesus is talking about here, your will, you know, the Father's, God's will be done. The will of God is a very deep and complex thing. And really, it's beyond us. We're puny humans who have finite brains and are very limited in our understanding. But God's will is something far beyond us, right? It's secret and unknowable for the most part. You know the doxology in Romans 11? How unsearchable are his judgments and how far his ways are past finding out. And Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, the secret things belong to the Lord. So when you talk about the will of God, we in Reformed theology, we talk about the secret will of God, which we really can't know because God hasn't revealed it to us. But he has revealed to us his will, and we have that in the part of his will that we have in Scripture. So Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, not only says the secret things belong to the Lord, but the rest of that verse says, but the revealed things belong to us and to our children. So God has also revealed his will in Scripture. We have that part of his will, what he wants us to know. Now, if you know the Bible, you know that the main storyline of the Bible is all about the Messiah, Jesus. And so at the center of God's revealed will, at the center of Scripture, the Old and New Testament, is the work of Jesus to save sinners, the gospel. In the Old Testament, for example, it says it was the will of the Lord to crush him. Isaiah 53. It was the will of God to crush Jesus, to put him to death on the cross to save sinners. And Jesus said the same thing in John's gospel. This is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those has given me, but raise them up on the last day. So, when you think about the revealed will of God, you think about Scripture, and you think about the heartbeat of it, which is the gospel, that God sent His Son Jesus to come and save sinners. Now, that's about us, obviously. We're sinners who need Jesus to save us. But then we can also kind of trickle down and apply this will to our lives, the will of God. So the will of God is to save sinners through Christ's sacrifice. But also then, for those who follow Jesus, for Christians who have been saved by grace, the will of God has to do with us obeying Him. It has to do with our obedience. So 1 Thessalonians 4. This is the will of God, your sanctification. So God's will for you, dear Christian, is to grow in grace, to become a stronger Christian, to obey Him more. Or 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God. Thankfulness and obedience has to do with how God wants us to live following His revealed will. Now, this even comes in the Old Testament. The psalmists always say this. Psalm 143, for example, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. So when we pray, your will be done, that's the same thing that the psalmist is saying here. Teach me to do your will. Did you ever think about that phrase in the Lord's Prayer that way? Your will be done, Lord. In other words, teach me to do what you want me to do, to follow your word, to do your will. So doing God's will has to do with Christian obedience. One teacher put it this way, Christian living and doing the will of God are one and the same and are not to be separated. Christian living and doing the will of God are one and the same. So you think about doing God's will, you pray about doing God's will, and we don't want to pick and choose parts of God's will. When we read the Scriptures, He wants us to be sanctified. He wants us to be sexually pure, morally pure, keep our tongues from evil like we read. We don't want to pick and choose from parts of God's revealed will in Scripture what we're going to do. We want to do it all by God's grace. That's our goal. And we don't want to do it by halves. But we want to do it like the angels in heaven do, as on earth as it is in heaven. May we follow your will while we're on earth like your angels follow your will in heaven. So the angels follow God's will perfectly and immediately without complaining, wholly and fully. That's what we're praying for. That's our goal that we press towards. Of course, we won't be perfect in this life, but we press towards that. So when we talk about God's will, it has to do with the secret will. It has to do, you know, with the gospel, with Jesus dying for us. And it has to do with us following Christ, obeying. So A.W. Pink put it this way. When we pray, your will be done, we're praying, Father, let your will be revealed to me. Let it be wrought in me. And let it be performed by me. That's God's will. Now, when we talk about the will of God and praying, you know, your will be done, implied here is what Jesus said elsewhere, not my will be done. The two go hand in hand, right? May your will be done, Lord, and not mine. Your will. So the Heidelberg Catechism puts it well when it talks about this phrase in the Lord's Prayer. Help us to reject our own wills and obey yours without any back talk. Good way to put it. Now, our wills, even as Christians, okay, if you follow Jesus, if you're a Christian, you've repented and believe in Christ, we don't have perfect wills, do we? Our wills are sometimes still divided. Some days, some hours, some minutes, you have this serious devotion to Christ and you feel like you fully want to do His will and you're in submission to His will and you seek to do His will. But other days... Other hours, other minutes of your life, not so much. Because we still have that sinful nature in us. And you know Galatians 5. The desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. So when we talk about our wills, we still have that sinful principle left in us. Even though we are freed from the bondage and dominion of sin through Jesus' death, we're not yet perfect. and we still struggle with the sinful nature. The Westminster Confession talks about the remaining corruption, and we do not perfectly will that which is good. So that's why in the Lord's Prayer, your will be done, we're praying against our sinful will. We're praying against our sinful will. Isn't this true of your own Christian life if you think back? You've all had ups and downs in the Christian life. Ups in the Christian life where you feel close to the Lord, you're praying a lot, you're studying His Word, you're finding comfort and joy in His Word. And then it goes downhill a little bit and you don't read His Word, you don't pray that much, and you're not doing God's will as you should. And so we've got to learn then that we can't always trust our wills. Our wills are imperfect. We know what's good and right because the Bible tells us, but we don't always will what's good and right. So we can't fully trust our own wills. That's why Proverbs says, lean not on your own understanding. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool. There's a story of a man, I think I read this before or saw it on the show. There's a story of a man who went on a long and difficult journey. Sometimes he made some pretty dumb choices and he messed up and he suffered a lot for it. And at one point, there's this mysterious stranger who comes as he's on this journey. And the stranger gives him a pill to help his friend who was with him, who was very sick. And the man says, trust me, give this pill to your friend. And the main character said, trust you? I don't even trust myself. We as Christians sometimes talk that way, right? Rightly, because we still have that sinful nature in us. We can't fully trust our own wills. And so when we pray the Lord's Prayer, then we're praying against the sinful part of our will. I love how Augustine put it in one of his prayers, simple but sweet. He said, save me from myself. Save me from my corrupt nature still dwelling in me. Help me deny myself. Help me take up the cross. Help me lean not on my own understanding. Not my will be done, but yours. Let not my will rule me. Here's one to pray. Don't let my will rule me. And don't give me over to my will, anything but that. Don't let me do my will, Lord, but help me do yours. One Puritan put it well. Misery always follows when we do our will. Happiness follows when we do God's will. It's a good way to put it. So that's our wills, right? We still struggle with the sinful nature. Even though we're saints, we're still sinners because we're being sanctified, not yet glorified. So I want to spend then the rest of the time tonight talking about submission to God's will. So in the shorter catechism, in this petition in the Lord's Prayer, it says, help us submit to your will in all things. Submission to God's will. Now, it's interesting. One preacher put it this way. When we talk about doing God's will, there's this actively obeying that we should do, but there's also passively submitting to God's will. Active and passive as we think about God's will. So the first thing about submission that I'll mention tonight is we want to submit to God's plan for our life. Your will be done. Your plan for my life, may that be done. Help us accept that plan. Psalm 33, the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. Or Proverbs 19, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it's the purpose of the Lord that will stand. So when we pray your will be done, we say, Lord, help me to accept your plan for my life all the way up to my death. In this journey called life, help me, O Lord, submit to the purposes and the plans that you have for me. Philip Ryken put it well. You know, usually we ask the question, what is God's will for my life? But Ryken said we should better ask first, am I willing to do God's will? So that's a good order, right? Am I willing to do God's will? Then you say, Lord, what is your will? There's no sense asking, he said. There's no sense asking to know God's will if you're not going to submit to it. So what are your plans, Lord? I need to submit. Help me do that. The Stams were a missionary couple to China. I think it was Clarence Stam and Betty Stam. And this was years ago, before they went or early on in their mission work in China, she wrote this in her little prayer journal. Lord, I give up all my own plans and purposes, all my own desires and hopes, and accept thy will for my life. Use me as you will. Send me where you will. 3 years later, on the mission field, her and her husband were beheaded for preaching and teaching and speaking about Jesus. That was the plan of God for her life, and she submitted to it. Thy will be done. Now, hand in hand with submitting to God's plan in our life, when we pray, your will be done, we're also praying that we would submit to God's providence in our life. And generally speaking, just like Job. Remember the misery that Job went through in God's providence, God's hard providence. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. But Job still said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Or David, after his sin, remember the whole Bathsheba affair. After that sin, a son of his died. It was God's dark providence. And so we pray that, Lord, help me to submit to your providence. And I think it's easy for us to submit to God's providence when things go well. And that's great, Lord. This is not too bad when we have things going well. But then we're praying especially to submit to God's hard providence, or what some people have called the frowning providence of God. I think that's in one of our hymns. To those hard times in our life. Think of David, for example, running for his life in the Old Testament. That was a hard time in his life. Or think about in the New Testament, one of the missionary helpers of Paul, Epaphroditus, was sick and he almost died. Or think about Paul thrown in prison, miserable. Thy will be done. So we have to understand, we don't want to think about God's hard providence and not accept it. We don't really want God to cater to us or spoil us. We want his will to be done in us. And I say that because when a hard providence comes our way, that's a great way and a great time for God to teach us. So we submit to his teaching in hard providence. We know that God is sovereign in the hard providence. We know that God is sovereign in the tough times. And we know and we trust that God will work it all out for our good and his glory. So think about Psalm 119. I love this psalm. I don't have the verse, but it's in Psalm 119. My suffering was good for me, for it taught me to pay attention to your decrees. My suffering was good for me. Help me submit to your hard providence. Trials teach us when we're weak. Sometimes we're in the bed and helpless. We know that we're weak, but we then are reminded that God is strong. When we're down and out for the count, when a hard providence presses our hearts and we're crushed inside, we know that God's grace is sufficient then and our strength isn't. Trials and dark providences teach us this world is not our final home. Difficulties tell us that we're not in control, but somebody else is. God is. So we submit to God's hard providence. Your will be done, Lord. Augustine, to quote him again, he had it well. He was talking about difficult providences. You know, when things happen in our life we don't understand, we're scratching our head and maybe crying about it. Augustine talked about purpose. He said, there's useful purpose in the obscurity of the purpose. So God's purpose is obscure. That means unclear. But Augustine said there's useful purpose in the obscurity of the purpose, to exercise our humility and undermine our pride. So we submit to God's hard providence. Now, another one, when we talk about submitting to God's will, we submit to God's plan for our life and his providence in our life. But also, thy will be done. We're submitting to how and when he answers our prayers, plans, providence and prayers. So do you know what I mean by that? When we have to submit to how and when God answers prayers. Remember Paul's thorn in the flesh? How many times did he pray that God would remove that painful and difficult thorn? 3 times. Did God remove it? No. What did God tell him? My grace is sufficient. So When we're saying, "Thy will be done," we're saying, "Lord, help me accept the answer, your answers to my prayers. Your way, your timing, I'm good with that. Even if it means the thorn stays." And this really we see, I think, most clearly in Jesus when he was on his way to the cross on that dark night before the cross. He said, remember when he was praying in the garden, he said, "Father, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." And so he's praying, "Lord, if it's your will, take this cup from me, but not my will, but your will be done." And Jesus submitted them to how God answered prayers. He said, "No, I'm not taking the cup from you." Jesus submitted to the Father's good will, and it meant our salvation. That's the gospel, that Jesus submitted to God's will. And so we want that attitude. We want that mind when we pray. So it's great. As God is our Father, we talked about that already, our Father in heaven, we can bring all of our different petitions and prayers to God. Even as kids, if you're scared of something, if you have a hard time in life, if you're sick and you're not feeling well, any time we need, we can pray to God. Especially, remember, even as we get older, we pray to God more and more because we know we need so much more help. But then as we pray that, we say, "Lord, you know, help me in your way and in your timing." So, for example, if we pray, "Lord, help me find a different job," we say, "If it is your will." And maybe God answers that prayer 2 years later and gives you a different job then when it's his timing. And you submit to that. Or that tough one for some couples, "Lord, help us have a child soon if it is your will." And sometimes it's difficult, but sometimes God says, no, I have different plans. And so we have to submit to God's answers to prayers, understanding that he does it best. So we submit to how he answers prayers. And there's one more here that I'll keep short, and then I'll do a conclusion. But one more thing about submitting to God's will is we want to submit to his fatherly punishment. That's another piece. So I'm trying to keep this simple or straightforward. We submit to God's plan for our life, to his providence, to how he answers prayers, and to his loving punishments or discipline. This is another hard one, isn't it? Hebrews 12 says, "The Lord disciplines those whom he hates." Nope. "The Lord disciplines those whom he loves." He disciplines those whom he loves. Now, God's discipline for us is all different. You can read the Bible and learn of some of God's different disciplines for his children. But when we pray this, "Your will be done," we're praying that we would submit to when God disciplines us. Now, I don't mean to say, and the Bible doesn't teach that all of the difficult trials in our life are a direct correlation to our sin. So that doesn't mean if you sin, then God will, or that all of the trials in your life are a result of your own personal sin. Remember the man born blind? The disciples said, "Who sinned, him or his parents?" And Jesus said, "Neither. It was for the glory of God to be made clear." So all of our difficulties don't mean they're a result of our sin. But sometimes, and even often, when we do sin purposely and we know that we've sinned and transgressed God's law, God will discipline us. And at that point, we have to submit to it. You who are parents or have been parents, you know that when you catch your kid doing something wrong, you have a certain punishment for it. You give him the punishment, and you expect the child to take it because he deserves it. It's hard, but that's just the reality of life. "Yep, I'm sorry, I did what was wrong, and I'll take the punishment." That's kind of the attitude that we have towards God. "Lord, if I've done something wrong and you bring discipline my way, help me submit." This is another hard saying, but another quote that I found: "Good is the rod of the Lord." Psalm 119, "In faithfulness you afflicted me." Another one from Psalm 119: "I used to wander off until you disciplined me, but now I closely follow your word." So God's discipline is for our good too. And when we pray, "Your will be done," we're praying, "Lord, help me submit to your discipline." Okay, so we can kind of summarize these things up. Submitting to the will of the Lord, again, it has to do with submitting to His plan, His providence, how He answers prayers, and to His loving fatherly punishment. We could, I don't have another P. You can maybe tell me one after the sermon if you think of one. But we submit totally or wholly. Completely. That's a good way to summarize it. Just like the angels in heaven do God's will and submit to God's will entirely, willingly, without complaint. That's how we want to submit to His will. You know, the old stories of the kings and the knights and such in the Middle Ages. It's like a good servant in a castle saying to his king, if it pleases the king, it pleases me. That's our attitude towards God's will. It's full submission to His will. Thomas Watson, the Puritan, said, submission is like giving a paper to the Lord and saying, Lord, whatever you write, that I will agree with and subscribe to. I'll submit to it. So we don't want to complain. Your will be done. Whether it's hard providence or a difficult answer to prayer or the plans that you have for my life, your will be done. And we don't grumble about His will. We've been learning about grumbling in the book of Numbers. It's not good when God's people grumble. There's, speaking of fatherly punishment and discipline, we've learned that. So we don't want to grumble about God's will. We want to submit and admit His way is best. And just fully understand that since, again, that our wills are imperfect, if we had to direct all the plans for our life and the purposes and the answers to prayer and all this stuff in our life, we would mess it up. We would not do it good and well. We would do it imperfectly and screw things up for ourselves. So we want to submit to God's will and say, whatever your plan is, whatever your answers to prayer are, whatever your providence is in my life, and whatever punishment you bring my way, it's good. And I submit. When David was fleeing Absalom, they were wondering if he should go back to Jerusalem. And they said, let the Lord do to me what seems good to Him. Or David said that. Let the Lord do to me what seems good to Him. Thy will be done. Or in Acts 21, I think we went through this in adult Sunday school, or we will. Acts 21, when the Christians were begging Paul not to go to Jerusalem, because they knew that Paul would probably die if he went to Jerusalem. They said, let the will of the Lord be done. Thy will be done. We didn't sing this hymn, but it's in our book. It's a great one. I think Horatius Bonar said it or wrote it. Thy way, not mine, O Lord, however dark it be, lead me by thine own hand, choose out the path for me. Smooth let it be or rough, it will still be the best. Winding or straight it leads, right onward to thy rest. So when we pray, your will be done, we're saying a lot. We're praying for obedience. We're praying for ability to renounce our own wills and submission to God's will. And so the great thing about this is when we pray this by faith, when you pray the Lord's Prayer with a believing heart, dear Christian, you don't have to, we're not throwing this prayer up to heaven like a Hail Mary, just hoping that God will answer it. No, when we come to God in faith through Jesus, we expect Him to answer this prayer in a positive way because it is His will to have us submit more to His will. So as you grow in the Christian life, by God's grace, by the work of His Holy Spirit, and by the power of Christ's resurrection at work in us, we will slowly more and more start to obey His will and to submit to His will for our Christian good and for His glory. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, it is difficult sometimes for us to think about your will because we know that sometimes our will clashes with yours. We know, Lord, that sometimes even though we're redeemed and made new, sometimes our old Adam's sinful nature within us rises and wills what is evil or wrong or sinful. And so, Lord, first we would pray that you would help us to understand and believe that your will is good and perfect and just and right and true and fair. Help us, Lord, to renounce our own sinful wills. And please, Lord, give us the grace to submit to your will, whether it be the plans for our life, whether it be dark providence, whether it will be a way where you answer prayer, or whether it's a fatherly punishment and discipline. Give us the grace to submit to your will. And so we pray your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our closing hymn for tonight then is the benediction. I think you know that one. It's number 730. And let's stand together to sing it. And we go with this blessing tonight from number 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.